Well, thank you. Well, this is exciting to be with you all this evening. So we are all here because we want help raising our kids, right? Does anybody here have it all figured out and you came to... No, we all need to grow. This is something that we can all grow in. This is something that we can all learn from one another. And most certainly we can learn from God's word about what he says about parenting, who is the best father, like we heard about in manifestations tonight. So I do want to thank Josh, and I want to thank Tom for inviting me to teach at this weekend. I'm very excited to get into the things in the Word tonight. So I wanted to do just a little bit of an introduction before we get into our main topic. Go ahead and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. In chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth." So Peter here is talking about putting them into remembrance of some things. And they weren't new things. They were things that they were established in this present truth, but he was reminding them of it. This weekend is going to be a lot of that. There's not going to be revealed the parenting secret that we've all been missing this entire time. It's going to be about parenting according to the truth of Christ. So these are things that we've already been established in, these present truths. We've been taught these on Sunday mornings. We've been taught these from our Father as we open up the scriptures. And it says, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." And so our teachings are going to be to put us in remembrance to the point where we're stirred up, where we can be sharpened, where we can be built up, where we can see more clearly how to apply the scriptures, specifically the main message of the scriptures, the gospel, to our lives and parenting in particular. Go to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 17. In Proverbs 12, 17. You know what? I did this when I was running through this in my practice teaching. Brian, was it 21? I wrote it down wrong again. What, 27? Sorry, I forgot to fix it on my paper. Go to chapter 27. That was the wrong verse. It may have been. I actually didn't read it. I didn't see my words, so I didn't get that far. Proverbs 28, verse 17. It says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." That was 28:17 or 27:17. You're right. Sorry. Woo. Good thing you guys are here with me tonight. Okay. So Proverbs 27 verse 17, I'm going to read that again. It says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." We're also going to be splitting up into fellowships, and we're going to be spending some time together. And one of the things that we can do when we're together is to help each other learn how to take whatever situations we're in and apply the gospel message to it. Some of us have young kids. Some of us have older kids. Some of us have one kid. Some of us have five, six kids. Whatever situation that we're in, the gospel message applies. The word of God applies. And sometimes we need help with that. And so these fellowships are going to be helpful in that regard to help sharpen each other. So let's get started in our topic. Actually, I have like a two-part topic with mine, but the overall title for mine is the context of parenting, God's overall purpose of the ages. Okay, so this has a part one and a part two. So we're going to start with the part one, which is the overall vision for parenting. And I also want to say that I'm going to talk a lot more than I normally do in a teaching. I'm going to reference a lot of things. So you have time this weekend. If what I am talking about you want to look at further, you're like, oh, I wish you would have like gone to the scriptures. I can't go to all the scriptures that I would love to go to. Otherwise, that would take the entire weekend and we wouldn't get where we want to get. So take that time, okay? So first of all, the context of parenting. Tomorrow, Josh is not going to stand up here and say, turn to the book of parenting, chapter 1, verse 1, right? There is no book of parenting in the Bible. Just like there is no book on marriage, there's no book on dating, there's no book on your relationships at work. The books of the Bible that discuss, there are books of the Bible that discuss parenting, but their topic is not parenting. Parenting comes up in it, okay? So, I hope you guys all went to the bookstore before we got here, because the Bible doesn't have anything to say about parenting, only a few verses. Uh-oh, we should go and get all the books that we need. No. We would also be here for a really long time because there's like a million books on parenting. But God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's 2 Peter 1 verse 3. God has given us everything that we need to raise our children in the scriptures. And it's his way. God didn't give us a book on parenting. But what he did give us is enough for us to be able to do this good work. So the context of parenting, what is the context of the entire Word of God? Christ, the gospel of Christ. God made man, the fall of man, what God did in order to bring us back to him, and then what's going to happen in the future. All of those things are in regards to Christ. So, yes, so that is the whole book of the Bible. And so we want to remember that when we are reading these scriptures about parenting. It's all in the context of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Parenting, like any other topic, like any other verse we read about in the scriptures, we always want to keep it in light of the context. That way we'll have a greater understanding of how it applies to life. God's main topic is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So parenting is to be done in light of the truth of the gospel, which brings up an important point. The gospel of Jesus Christ affects all of my life. It's very easy to compartmentalize my life where here's my work, here's my kids, here's my marriage, here's the grocery store, here's walking my dog, going to the doctor's office, you know, all these different parts of life. That is not the life of a Christian. The life of a Christian is to be lived out in light of Christ in all the aspects of my life, right? So every aspect of my life, including raising my children, is to be in light of Christ and being in Christ. So, if you know what God has to say about the main point of the Bible, the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know how to be a Christian, and you also know the majority of how to parent. Because it's the application of what we know about the gospel of Christ that we apply to parenting. Go ahead and turn to Ephesians 6, verse 4. And this is our main verse for the weekend. Ephesians 6, verse 4. This one I did write down correctly. It says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." The instruction here, it says, "You fathers." So, but this is, it says fathers because fathers are overall in charge of their home. This would also include mothers. This includes parents. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In Ephesians and in the church epistles, this is your verse on parenting. Here you go. You can all go home. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we're going to be getting into more of that tomorrow. I'm not going to actually explain anything in this verse tonight. But we want to talk about the context in which this lays. Because if we don't understand that, this won't be as weighty of a verse for us. So we want to know what Ephesians says. And again, I don't have time to read the entire book of Ephesians with you all tonight, but just in a nutshell, what is Ephesians about? It's about God's eternal plan and purpose in Jesus Christ to reconcile heaven and earth to himself. He made Jesus Christ Lord. He put him above every principality and power. He's at the right hand of God at a place of authority and power. And he's doing that reconciliation currently right now, reconciling heaven and earth to God. And all those, as we know, all those who call upon the name of the Lord are saved and are now a part of this purpose, this plan that God has purposed. It's called the purpose of the ages. This is the plan. This is the one thing that God has put all of his time and interest and resources in, this Christ. And now here we are, a part of it, a part of this purpose of the ages, a part of this body of Christ, where Jesus Christ is Lord, the head of the body, and we get to stand on this earth together and make known Christ together. We get to stand against the evil principalities and powers that are out there together and stand for the truth in this world. That's what we get to do. That's the purpose of the ages. That's Ephesians. Go ahead and turn to Ephesians 3, verse 21. And this is so amazing because each one of us, and this is sometimes hard to remember, you know, I don't know where you guys came from today, from work or all the different various parts of life, but we are, each of us are members of this body of Christ, which is part of the purpose, God's purpose of the ages. And we each have a part to play in God's purposes. We are a part of the body of Christ. And that is to reflect the glory of God on this earth. In Ephesians 3:21, it says, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Everything in the church is to be to God's glory. Everything in the church. And that includes parenting. That includes our families. They can be to the glory of God. You know, we're a part of God's purpose and plans, not the reverse. He's not a part of my purpose and plans. We're a part of his purpose and plans. And those purpose and plans, those are to his glory. So we can bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and it's a contributing part of the purpose of the ages. It's not a small thing. Our families can be to the glory of God, just like anything else in the church. Our marriages, what you do with work, you know, all those different relationships that are talked about in Ephesians. And this doctrine of Ephesians should influence my life, my day-to-day life, including raising my kids. So, parenting is part of the purpose of the ages. What does that look like? I'll tell you first what it doesn't look like. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to read a section at the beginning of Ephesians 2 that I know we're all familiar with. This is who we once were. So if you want to know what parenting according to the purpose of the ages doesn't look like, it doesn't look like what you used to do. Ephesians 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. We used to walk according to the course of this world, which was set up by the devil. You know, the world tries to promote many, many things when it comes to parenting. Good parents have their kids in all the best activities. Good parents have their kids in the best summer camps. Good parents let them be who they truly are by the flesh. You know, the list goes on and on and on. That's not parenting according to the purpose of the ages. Let's keep reading. It says in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation, or the way we lived in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. It also is not doing this according to the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. What are examples of that? Wanting your child to be the popular child, wanting them to be the athletic star, wanting them to be the academic star, wanting them to be the happy child. There's a lot of books on that right now. All these things many parents desire, if it's according to the lust of the flesh here, which is what we all, our default is, it's because they desire whatever they want for their child because it reflects on them in some way, because it gives them glory. But that's not what we want to do. You know, the lusts of our flesh, what our flesh is going to desire for our kids, in some way, shape, or form, is going to be selfish. What do I get out of it? But the thing is, parenting is not for our glory. It is nothing for us to boast in. What did we read about earlier? Unto God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. It's to God's glory. It's not for my glory. There's none of me in it. And let's face it, when we're looking at our kids and we're at a restaurant and they're yelling in the corner, I mean, it is not for our glory. So when we do find that temptation, I'm sure, at times, but if we want to do this according to the purpose of the ages, it's to be unto God's glory. It's not for me. My children are not for me. They're for him. They're not for me. They're for him. So what does parenting as part of the purpose of the ages look like? Let's go to Matthew 28. Let's go to Matthew 28, and it says in verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So this is right before the Lord Jesus Christ ascended up to heaven, and he's talking to his disciples, and he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. The teach all nations is to make disciples of all nations. Make disciples of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. A better rendering of that is baptizing them in my name. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. All of us have been given a commission by our Lord Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations. And that includes people getting born again and then helping them raise up so that they follow the Lord Jesus Christ themselves. That's what a disciple is one who follows the Lord Jesus Christ and goes according to his teaching. What's wonderful with this is that's what we do with our kids. That's what we do with our kids. You know, when they're born, of course they're not born again yet. What's the first thing that we start teaching them about? Who God is, who the Lord Jesus Christ is, the fact, what sin is, so that they understand that they're sinners and they need a savior, they need a redeemer. And then as they get born again, what do? We help them grow up into who they are in Christ. We point them to God. We show them who they are and what they are a part of themselves. In 1 Timothy 2:4, it says, God wants all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. God wants all men to be saved and to come into a knowledge of the truth. That's basically saying the same thing. And we've been given this authority to do that, to make disciples of all nations. And that includes, you know, your day-to-day life outside of your home, but that also includes in your home. That includes what you do with your children. You know, right here, what can you do? You can make disciples of the children that you have in your home. We have the authority and privilege of raising our children in the nurture and admonition in the Lord so that they can be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they follow him. As we've already discussed, our other option is to raise our kids according to our ways, according to the world, or we can raise them according to what God has done in Christ, and it's to his glory. It's for his purposes. You know, one of these things is temporary, fleeting, of the world, and the other is eternal and of the kingdom of God and his son Jesus Christ. One is life, an empty life, and the other is a life that's eternal, a life that's truly life. It's a life that's in Christ. You know, which one do we want to choose? Of course, you know, all of us are here because we want to know, how can I raise my child in the things that are eternal, in the things that are everlasting? Not just how do I help them with this issue today, but how do I help them live the life that they have and that's going to extend for all of eternity? How do I help them when they stand before the Lord? He's going to say, well done, good servant, you know? Let's turn to 1 Timothy, please, chapter 6. First Timothy 6, and we're going to start in verse 17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. A better rendering of that, or better way to translate that, would be to fix their hope on uncertain riches. But in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. You might be thinking, Katie, why are you going to this verse? It's talking about rich people. Well, what are they doing? What is the temptation for those who are rich, to set their hope on uncertain riches? Can you do that in things other than money? Yeah. You can put your roots down and set your hope on things of this life, of things of this earth, the things that are temporary, right? That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And I'm going to read that verse, that last verse, 19, in the NIV. It says, in this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Instead of putting their hope in the things of this life, instead of exerting their effort to put all their time and effort and money on the things of this earth, their hope on the things of this earth, instead of that, the things that are eternal. That way they will lay up for themselves treasure for a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. What is that life? Eternal life, right? But it's a life that's in Christ. Go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. In 3:1 it says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall also appear with him in glory. Who is our life? Christ. Christ is our life. And there's more to come than the things on this earth. Why set my hope on uncertain riches? Why set my hope on the things of this life? We want to help our children, ourselves first and foremost, and our children, set their hope on Christ Jesus the Lord, their life. He is their life. He is our life. And it says to, like it says here, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And in verse 2, set your affection on things above. Which really means keep setting your mind on things above. It's a continual thing. It's a continual thing. We want to help our kids live in light of their life in Christ, this eternal life, not putting my roots down in this life. It's temporary. But in the true life, the eternal life, we've all been given in Christ. And so when applying that, you know, in the day-to-day life, are we preparing them for the true life that's in Christ or for the temporary? In school, in this world, they'll be, whatever job they end up working, they're going to be trained to think and to make decisions based on the temporary. But they're not temporary beings. If they've believed on Jesus Christ, they're eternal beings. You know, how many times will they be asked, what are your hopes and dreams? Reach for the stars. You can be anything you want to be. What do all those statements have in common? They bring your eyes down on the things of this life. What God has laid out for us is so much greater than anything ourselves or our children could ever dream of. What are your hopes and dreams? Well, how about we make these our hopes and dreams? You want to reach for something? How about we reach for what God says to reach for, what we can reach for in Christ? What God has laid out for us is so much greater than anything that this world has to offer. We want to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's training them to lay up treasure for themselves for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that's truly life, that life that's in Christ Jesus. The responsibility of training my children is not given to the church, it's given to the parents. You know, that one verse that we read in Ephesians 6:4, it says, fathers, right? Train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We want to help raise our children, but it's our job to raise them, you know. And I want to bring this up because a lot of parents do rely, and myself included, on the children's fellowship work. It's so wonderful, like on Sunday mornings or whatever goes on in your home fellowship, but they're not the ones who are listed in Ephesians 6:4. I am. Sorry. I'm listed in Ephesians 6:4. You all are listed in Ephesians 6:4 if you have children. That's my responsibility, not Children's Fellowship. Thank God for the people that God puts it in their heart to work with our kids, to help them and teach them, and that we are in a body of Christ. It's not like we're little islands. However, that verse is to us, and we want to help guide them and help them and train them the way that God wants us to, and we can. So what's the goal in raising our children? To mold their personality so they no longer embarrass me in public? To raise them to be quiet, perfect, little, obedient children? No. Joe says no. Yep, I agree. To be participating members of society? To be the best soccer player or baseball player or football player out there? No. I know we're all laughing at these, but to get them in a good school or to carry out some sort of a family legacy that's been passed down? To be whoever they want to be. No, like we already talked about in Ephesians 2:1-2 or 3, you know, we don't want to raise our kids that way. That's not our goal. None of those things are our goal. Those are all temporary and fleeting and lowly, so lowly in comparison to God's purpose of the ages, to the eternal things in Christ Jesus. Now, can they participate in these things? Am I saying that all soccer and baseball and football and school are terrible? And no, I'm not saying that. Of course not. I'm not saying that. But is that my goal for them? To graduate high school? You know? To be a happy person? No. That's not my goal. Right? God's word, what God's word says about what he's done for us in Christ, this purpose of the ages, that's our goal. That's our goal. What does Ephesians say is the goal for any person? The goal is to raise mature, genuine Christians who know their place in the purpose of the ages. The goal is to raise mature and genuine Christians to know their place in the purpose of the ages. If you want to look at other places that talk about this, God says the same thing many different ways. I'm going to give you some references, okay? So you can look at these. In Colossians 1:28-29, Paul labored to present the believers perfect, which means complete or mature in Christ Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:10-12, actually, this one I'll read. You don't have to go there if you don't want to, but if you want to, you can. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says in verse 10, this is Paul speaking. He says, "You are all witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you also know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children, that you would walk worthy of God that has called you into his kingdom and glory." That you would walk worthy of God's kingdom, of his glory. What's our goal? That. That you would stand perfectly mature and complete in the sight of God, living your life that way. That you would walk worthy of the kingdom of God to his glory. That our children would take their place in this purpose of the ages. As parents, we have the amazing responsibility, but privilege of helping our children be saved, learn what it means to be in Christ, and help them take their position as members of the body of Christ, as participants in God's purpose of the ages. Now, I may not see the whole fruit of that in my lifetime or while they're underneath my roof, but that's what I strive for. That's what I strive for. And knowing this, knowing what my Father's will for my children is, will help me in the day-to-day life. of how I interact with my kids, raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And how do any of us grow in the truth of Christ? We grow up by the gospel message, right? That nurturing and admonition of the Lord, we grow up in the gospel message. We grow up in the truth of Christ. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You know, these aren't things that I can just mandate. How do I help my child be raised up in these things? Well, here's a start. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, it says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ, Jesus Christ." We want to help build that foundation, that solid foundation of Jesus Christ in their lives. And we want to do that with this gospel-centered parenting. And there's many examples of this in the New Testament, and we'll be getting into some of them. But we can look at Paul. Actually, we just read one in 1 Thessalonians. Paul fathered many in the gospel. He spoke the gospel message to them. He taught them. He loved them. He reproved them. He encouraged them over and over, reminding them of who they are in Christ over and over and over and over again. Sound familiar with parenting? He prayed for them to grow up spiritually, to take their place in God's purpose of the ages. You know, in day-to-day life, am I speaking to my children like this in light of the gospel? Or just stop doing that. Be quiet. Sit there. You know, we talk to them a lot. Are we telling them why? Are we just doing it because it's what we want and what we like? You know, we want to help build Christ in their lives. Are we telling them who they are in Christ once they are saved? That they're righteous, that they're holy. That's why you can love your brother. That's why you can walk this way and not the other way, right? Helping remind them of the love that they can have for their Savior and their God so that they're constrained by the love of Christ and not by mom or dad in the end. You know, am I going to be there when they're 30? No. I want them to be constrained by the love of Christ. We can help build that in their hearts now. We are entrusted to care for the hearts of our children, to feed them the gospel truth, to tell them who God is. Help them fear him. Teach them about who they are and who their Lord is, to help them even when they don't want to do the will of God, to help them get there. And it's not just about what they should do, but helping them understand. All these things are helping them understand what it means to be a part of something eternal, to help them want to do the will of God from the heart. Otherwise, what we're going to do is raise hypocrites. Children who will obey what we say, but not do it from the heart, which I know is not anything any of us want, where they feel one way on the inside, and then they're acting the opposite way on the outside. In Isaiah 29:13, it says, "Wherefore the Lord says, for as much as these people draw near to me with their mouth, but their lips do honor me, but they have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." That's not what we want. We want to raise them to be true, genuine Christians who love God and the Lord Jesus Christ and obey from the heart. Second half of this teaching is taking heed to myself. Taking heed to myself. How do I help start helping my child get that in their heart? As I take heed to myself and unto the doctrine. Josh pointed this out to me earlier. We have two wonderful verses up here. One that says, "Keep these words which I say to you this day deep in your hearts," Deuteronomy 6:6. And that's like us studying at the breakfast table, looking at God's word, right? Deep in your hearts, not just surface, right? Deep in our hearts. And here's this other one from Deuteronomy 6:7a. It says, "Teaching them to your children with all care." What I do first is this part. And then I can do this part. So let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read that verse as well. 1 Timothy 2. We're not at the study center. Can't just point to it today. Did I write that one down wrong too? I did, didn't I? It's 4:16. Sorry, guys. 1 Timothy 4:16. It says, "Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Take heed to yourself. Pay attention to yourself and to the doctrine. What's going on in my heart? What am I believing? Am I believing God's word? You know, pay attention to what's going on there. And also taking the time with my Father and feeding myself the word of God. You know, it's very easy to get caught up in life and things are busy and it's a whirlwind and I have something like every 15 minutes running here, running there, running there. And God is like, becomes way down on the list. And then I'm running on empty and on fumes and I cannot, I've got nothing to give because there's nothing coming out of my heart to give my kids. And you know, if you read the context of this, Timothy was in the middle of some perilous times. And what was he told? He was in the midst of pressure. He said, "Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you'll both save yourself. You'll save yourself and them that hear you." You have to feed yourself. You cannot be, God cannot be on the bottom of your list. If God is on the bottom of your list, your kids are going to be way down at the bottom of the list as far as raising them according to God's word. You can't do it. None of us can do it without feeding ourselves first and taking heed to what's going on in my heart. And yeah, I know that takes time. And you're like, well, I already have like zero time. Pray and ask God. Ask God this weekend. Well, first of all, you have some time this weekend, right? But also, ask God, okay, God, how can I organize my life where I can get you in there? Because I need you in there. I need you. I cannot do this without you, which is true for all of us. And we can, God can be in our lives. God can be the priority in our lives and in our hearts. And I know with babies, we have a lot of infants here. You don't have 4 hours to get in God's word or 1 hour to get in God's word. I know that. Can you meditate on God's word? Can you listen to it? Yeah. Can you read one verse and just think about it throughout your day? Yes, that's feeding yourself. That's taking heed unto yourself. And since we're here, let's just read this one also in 2 Timothy 3:16. Another familiar one, but very true. It says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God." It's God-breathed. "And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." If you want to be equipped for good works, you take heed to the doctrine and unto yourself. Because when you receive that reproof, when you receive that correction, when you receive that instruction, that helps to equip you for every good work, including parenting. Including parenting. Fully equipped unto all good works. So we want to take that time with him. And taking heed unto myself and the doctrine, I mentioned this earlier, but it means also making sure that I'm believing it, that I'm putting it on in my own head. Because parenting, when disciple making starts with me, first and foremost. Me as the parent being transformed by the gospel. If I'm taking heed unto myself and unto the doctrine, then what will come out of me is Christ, not fleshly you or me. Praise God. But one who's transformed by believing the gospel. Out of time, I'm not going to go here, but Romans 12:1-2. Romans 12:1-2. Well, I'll just read it briefly. All right. Romans 12:1-2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That I remember the mercies of God, and that's why I choose to do verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants us to prove him. He wants us to be transformed. He's made us for that. He's made us to be new in Christ, that Christ would be coming out of my life, not the flesh. Praise God. But it's by renewing my mind, right? I have a part to play in that. I have to choose to believe what God says. If I'm receiving that truth, if I'm living that out, then what's going to come out of me is Christ. If you read in 1 Timothy 4:12, it talks about, that's in the same context as take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. It talks about how Paul exhorted him to be an example to the brethren in faith, or not faith, sorry, that is actually not in the text if you read in the King James, the Spirit. But be an example of faith, purity, love. All of those things come out of a transformed life. I don't try and make myself better at faith or better at, you can increase your faith, but I'm better at love and better at all these different things. I don't try and make a checklist for myself to be a better parent. I put on who I am and then I'm transformed. And then I can be an example to my kids. Because one of the biggest ways we communicate to our children is by example, right? By what we do. They watch it. They see it. And what they can see for us is one who's transformed by the same words that I'm giving to you. You know? That I'm doing the same exact thing. And I want to close out tonight looking at an example in 2 Timothy 1. And we're going to read verse 5. This is probably the best example I know of as far as what it means to be an example to my kids. I don't know of a better one than this. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says, when I call to remembrance, now this is Paul talking to Timothy. And as you guys know, Timothy was a really awesome guy. I mean, he believed God, right? He stood for God and he fought for the gospel with Paul. And he said, in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. What he was reminding him of was the unfeigned faith that was in him, the unfake faith, the non-fake faith, the true, the genuine faith that was in him. But who was it in first? His grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. If I want to be an example to my kids, I got to take heed to myself and unto the doctrine. Have this living in myself first, but have this unfeigned faith where I'm truly living it myself. Now, unfeigned faith doesn't mean perfect faith. Unfeigned faith can mean mommy's not believing God's word right now. Sorry, guys, can you pray for me? But I'm actively going after it myself. And you know what's really cool with Timothy in this example? I know we all come from different backgrounds. Some of us, we have mom and a dad raising our kids together, and we're both interested in the things of God. Some of us don't. Some of us are single parents. Some of us are married, perhaps to somebody who's not into this as much as we are. Timothy's dad is not listed here. And I think this is amazing, because whatever parent is there for that child, you are an example to them. And Timothy's dad was Greek is all it talks about with him. Maybe he was around, maybe he wasn't. But what Timothy got was the unfeigned faith of his grandmother and his mom. Seeing that example with them, it affected him. You know, so whatever situation we might be in, we come in different parenting situations, come from different parenting situations, but you have an effect on your kids. The grandmother Lois did, right? And the mother Eunice did. Our examples can speak volumes, just like it did for Timothy. Am I example? Am I actively believing the gospel? Am I seeking to grow up into this myself? You know, that's part of this too, to help our kids. And, you know, whatever we understand, that's what we want to believe. And as we grow, this changes. And I know sometimes you can be considering things from the Word and be so overwhelmed, like, well, I don't even know what the purpose of the ages is. Oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? We're all growing in understanding what the purpose of the ages is. But whatever I do understand, that I can live and that I can believe right now. So I just want to end with an encouragement for all of us parents. We all understand different things from the Scriptures as far as we're different in maturity levels. We're different in background, but the one thing we can do is stand on the Word of God that we do know. We can do that right now. And we can endeavor to grow, too. And this is not something that I have to do, you know, parenting, just to close in general. This isn't something that I have to do. I am called to do it if I have children, but it's something I have the privilege of doing. I get to do this. I get to raise a kid who can understand what is part of being God's purposes and take their place. My prayer for this weekend, and I know for all of us who have been praying for this weekend, is that we can have greater joy and confidence when we understand what we're doing and why we're doing it. That we can be clearer and sharper on our vision, that we can be clearer and sharper on how to do that with our children. And the wonderful thing is God is doing it with us. He is for us. So raising our children is a work that he calls good, and God is faithful to help us, and he will. So that's our teaching for tonight. We are going to meet with our fellowships. Are we going to take a break?